You might be wondering, is this really a tefillah topic? Talking about Kriyas HaTorah sounds like a Talmud Torah. Maybe we should have Talmud Torah fundamentals and talk about the role of Talmud Torah Barabim. Talk about the role of Kriyas HaTorah, about preparing for Parshas HaShavua, about Shnai Mekar V'Yachad Targum. Is this really a topic on tefillah? And I guess the question is not really on me. The question really is on the sitter. What is Kriyas HaTorah doing in our davening? Oh no, someone got their Talmud Torah in my tefillah. Why do we have Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of davening? And not just somewhere in shul sometime after Shacharis is over. It's smack in the middle of Tachanunim on Mondays and Thursdays. Some of the extra prayers that we say are right before Kriyas HaTorah, and some of the Yeratzons that we say are after Kriyas HaTorah. Misha Berachs, we're davening, and there are tefillos that we say when taking out the Torah, tefillos we say when putting back the Sefer Torah. Tefillos are very much embedded all around this idea of Kriyas HaTorah, which indicates that it is, in some way, an element of davening. Kriyas HaTorah, we think about as being part of davening. And we have to figure out, what exactly is this type of Talmud Torah? What exactly is this role of Kriyas HaTorah? And how does it fit into the framework we've been talking about? The ideas of tefillah as a relationship, the idea of tefillah as a power of a tzibur, connecting to the tzibur. What exactly is this hanhaga, if you want to call it that, of Kriyas HaTorah and davening all about? So as far as takanos go, sometimes you have like a modern day takanos about like the size of bands or how big weddings can be. Sometimes you have takanos that go back to the days of the Achronim or the Rishonim. This takana goes back very, very far. In fact, how far back it goes is a discussion in the Gemara Maseches Bava Kamma. The Gemara Maseches Bava Kamma, at the end of Perek Merubah, discusses different takanos made by Yoshua and different takanos made by Ezra. And the source number one, the Gemara first says that the idea of laning during the week is a takana rooted back to Ezra. That's a long time ago. Beginning of Bayesheni, that's a long time ago. Asara takanos tikein Ezra. Shekorim b'Shabbos, reading Shabbos, let's say means Shabbos afternoon. V'korim b'Sheni v'Chamishi. So it really goes back way before the Rishonim, way before the times of the Gemara. It goes back all the way to Ezra HaSofer. Then the Gemara says, actually, it goes back probably way beyond that. Ask the Gemara, Ezra Tikkun? You think Ezra was the one who was masaking the idea of Kriyas HaTorah on Mondays and Thursdays? V'hamei kara hava mitkana. It actually happened way before Ezra. D'tanya, v'yelchu shloshes yamim b'midbar v'lo matzumayim. The Jewish people in Parshas B'shalach, right after Kriyas Yamsuf, were traveling for 3 days in the desert, and they couldn't find any water. Dorishei rishumos amru. The Gemara quotes these people who would give very deep interpretations of these psukim. Pasuk at face value sounds like it's describing thirsty people in a arid desert. But the Darshi Rishumos, the great Darshanim, explained, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, Shenamar Hoy, Kol Tzame Lechu Lamayim. Hey, you, thirsty people, go toward water. And water refers to, the Dvar Hashem, refers to a thirst for Torah. People were traveling for 3 days in the desert, and they couldn't find any water, meaning they had no access to Torah. Kevan Shehalchu Shloshes Yamim, Below Torah Nilu, when the people were bereft of Torah for 3 days in a row, they began to get weary and fall apart. Amdu Nevi'im Shebeinehem. This is back in Parshas B'Shalach. Who are their Nevi'im? Who are the Nevi'im? Nevi'im in plural? Moshe?
And Aaron.
Aaron? Miriam? Miriam? Does she count?
Of course she does.
The Nevi'im at that time got up. V'tiknu lehem shiyu korin b'Shabbos u'mafsikin b'echa b'Shabbos. Read on Shabbos and then don't have Kriyas HaTorah on Sunday. The korin b'sheni, read on Monday u'mafsikin shlishi v'revi, and not have Kriyas HaTorah on Tuesday and Wednesday. The korin b'chamishi, have laning on Thursday, mafsikin b'er Shabbos, no laning on Friday. So, k'dei shelo yalinu gimel yamim below Torah. So you don't have 3 days in a row without Kriyas HaTorah. The longest stretch is Tuesday and Wednesday, 2 days in a row. You don't have 3 days in a row without Torah. So ask the Gemara, don't tell me that Ezra was masaking the idea of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday. The Braisa says Moshe Rabbeinu's generation, the Nevi'im at that time, were the ones who established Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. So answers the Gemara, it was some kind of hybrid. Meikara Tiknu Chad Gavra Telasa Psuke. There was some version of Kriyas HaTorah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the days of the Midbar, in the days of Parshas B'Shalach. One person got an aliyah and just read three psukim, Inami Tlasa Gavre Tlasa Psuke, or three people each read one pasuk, totaling three altogether. Kineged Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim. The reason they chose three is because of the different facets of Jews. Asahu, Ezra came along quite a while later. Tikein Tlasa Gavre V'Asara Psuke, that it has to be three people and at least 10 psukim altogether. Kenegad asara batlanim, at least you have to have 10 people of a Torah community. So the Gemara is telling us that there was some aspect of this takana of reciting or having Kriyas HaTorah Monday and Thursday and Shabbos, starting back in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it became, as we know it today, with three aliyos at least, and with 10 psukim, that really developed in the days of Ezra. When the Rambam quotes this halacha in Hilchos Tefillah, in source number 2, he doesn't talk about the Nevi'im Shebeinehem, he just straight out says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Tikin Lehem Yisrael, Shiyu Korim B'Torah, Berabim B'Shabbos, V'Sheinu V'Chamishi B'Shachras. So Shacharis, now he's talking about Shabbos B'Shacharis, not sure. But Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking the idea of laning on Monday and Thursday in the morning, Kedesh Lo Yeshu, Shlosha Yamin Belo Shmias Torah, to avoid having a situation like they had, 3 days desperately thirsty, dying of thirst, without the Dvar Hashem, without the words of Hashem. And therefore, he was misaking the bare bones, and Ezra came along and gave us the framework that we know today. The Kesef Mishnah, Rav Yosef Karo, in his commentary on the Rambam, in source number 3, explains, even though the Gemara said, the Nevi'im Shebeinehem, the Rambam understood that means Moshe and his, maybe his brother, but first and foremost, Moshe Rabbeinu. And if he's the greatest of the Nevi'im, we'll just call it by his name. Plus, in the second line, he quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that has it explicitly, not like the Talmud Bavli, which said it was the Nevi'im, and the Rambam says that probably means Moshe, or at least Moshe at the core. The Talmud Yerushalmi says explicitly, Moshe tikein li Yisrael, sheyu korim b'torah b'shabbosos, uva yamim tovim, uva rosh chodesh, uva chalosh ha-moed. Not only does the Talmud Yerushalmi explicitly link it to Moshe in the generation, but the Talmud Yerushalmi says it wasn't just Monday and Thursday, and it wasn't just Shabbos either. The idea of laning on Yantiv, the idea of laning on Rosh Chodesh, the idea of laning on Chol HaMoed, those are all linked back to Moshe Rabbeinu, who saw that people weren't able to survive without Torah. Okay, so it's an idea about Talmud Torah. Why did they choose Monday and Thursday? You'll say, we explained that already, to avoid having 3 days in a row. Well, what if they would have done Sunday, Tuesday, and
Wednesday?
I don't know. The longest stretch would be Thursday and Friday. You can arrange a situation where you have 3 days, other, you can just shift everything over a day. Instead of Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, you could do Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. So why'd it have to be Dafka Monday and Thursday? Shabbos, I understand everyone's in shul, Shabbos. But why? What?
Because of
Tachan. Oh, so Tosfos in source number 4. We mentioned last week, we talked about our Shir on Tachan, and we talked about the idea of Monday and Thursday being an auspicious time. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get the second luchos. We achieved the ultimate kapara for the worst avera we've ever done. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go up on a Thursday and come down in Yom Kippur on a Monday, indicating our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu had been forgiven and been repaired. The most amazing idea for davening and Tachanun, but that's not relevant to laning. Why should laning be Monday and Thursday? And Tosfos, right, in source number 4, Mishum de Amar B'Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu al Vashalom, Allah B'chamishi L'kaba Luchos Achronos, V'yarad B'Sheini, V'nisratzalo Hamakom. Same idea. Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu achieved tremendous kapara. We achieved tremendous favor on Mondays and Thursdays, but Moshe went back for the second Luchos. Ulefi Shehaya Eis Ratzon, because Monday and Thursday are particularly auspicious times of tefillah and favor, Ba'osa Aliyah V'yarida, with Moshe being able to go back up and come down with the luchos, kavu b'sheni v'chamishi, and Tosfos add in ulachach nami nahagu lehesanos v'beis v'hei. The idea of tachanun, the idea of v'urachum, the idea of bahab, the idea of extra tefilos is the same idea. We have to understand that. I get it when it comes to tefila why eis ratzon matters. If we're just doing talmud Torah barabim, if we're just laning the parsha, preparing ourselves for Shabbos, doing shayim ekar v'yachat targum, what does that have to do with eis ratzon? What favor is there? What forgiveness is there? What relationship is there when we're laning the parsha that's coming up this week? There's no tefillah there. Obviously, there's tefillah there because we're putting it in the Siddur. It's surrounded by tefillahs. And Tosfos are telling us that the reason they chose, they meaning maybe as far back as Moshe Rabbeinu chose, Monday and Thursday is because they are auspicious times for our relationship with Hashem, for our forgiveness with Hashem. What does it have to do with Talmud Torah? So what all this points to is there clearly is some idea that Kriyas HaTorah and Shul, Monday and Thursday, is not just about reading the Torah. It's not just about Talmud Torah. It's not an act only. It certainly is an act of Talmud Torah, but it's not just an act of Talmud Torah. There's something much deeper. Something that explains our thirst, something that explains being in the desert, something that explains Kabbalah HaTorah. And in that sense, we're going to see a theme that Kriyas HaTorah is not just about acting in Talmud Torah now, but really tapping into Matan Torah of old. Shulchan Aruch in source number 5 records a difference of opinion whether a person is supposed to stand when listening to Kriyas HaTorah. Halacha is that the Shliach Tzibur, meaning the Baal Kriya, is certainly standing. The person getting the Aliyah is standing as well. But the listeners in the Tzibur, are they supposed to stand? Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein Tzarech Lamod Me'umad Be'esha Kar Matar. There's no obligation to stand when hearing Kriyas HaTorah. Adds the Rama, V'yesh Machmirin Ve'omdin. There are those who are strict and stood when listening to Kriyas HaTorah. V'chein Asa Maharam. Maharam Rutenberg, the great Tosafist, great Rebbe of the Rush, and the Mordechai, the Maharam Rutenberg stood for Kriyas HaTorah. The Mishnah Berurah in source number 6 points out that's not really the halacha. First of all, he quotes the Pri Chadash and the Vilna Gaon, right? The real halacha follows the first opinion, the Shulchan Aruch's opinion. There's no obligation to stand when listening to Kriyas HaTorah. Then he quotes a phenomenal idea from the Bach, Rav Yoel Sirkis, 400 years ago. V'habach kasav, degam ha-maharam moda demidina shari. The Maharam agrees you don't really have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah like you stand for Kedusha and you stand for the Amidah. No. You don't have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. Ela desfira lehu, what does the Maharam hold? Deroi lahader v'lamod, it's appropriate and a nice idea to stand. Mipnei shetzarech ha'adam lahalos bedato, a person should have the mindset, kishashomea ha'krim mipi ha'korei, as you're listening to Kriyas HaTorah, ki ilu kibla osa sha'a, Mehar Sinai. As if right now you are getting this Torah at Har Sinai. With Har Sinai, why do you call Yisrael Omdin? Moshe says, Anochi Omei Bein Hashem Bein Echem. I stood between Hashem and you, and the assumption is if Moshe was standing as a representative, we were standing as well. The Shliach has to do what everyone else is doing, so everyone was standing as well. What he's saying is that it's not just about Talmud Torah. A person is actively involved in a process and a reenactment of Kabbalah's HaTorah, and a person should be thinking about that. Not just, what's the content here? What aliyah are we up to? What's the mitzvah being discussed in Parsha Shemini? The person should stop and think that there's an experience going on here. I can envision the idea of Kabbalah's HaTorah happening now. I am present at Kabbalah's HaTorah. There's a direct mesorah of these words back to the time when we all heard it together at Har Sinai. This idea that Kriyas HaTorah is somehow patterned after or reenacting Kabbalah's HaTorah has to be the case. Because one of the questions on Tosfos said, Moshe Rabbeinu was Misaki Monday and Thursday. You know why Monday and Thursday? Because he went back for the Luchos on Monday and Thursday. Wait a second. When did Kriyas HaTorah start? Where was the Parsha? That the being thirsty and having 3 days without water. Where was that Pasuk? In Parshas Beshalach. Parshas Beshalach took place when?
Before.
Before what? Before the second Luchos. And before the first Luchos. And before Matan Torah altogether. Think about that. If you read the Gemara straight, it sounds like people were traveling after Kriyas Yamsuf, and they didn't have water, they were very thirsty for those 3 days. And the Deviya, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, got up and he said, I'm misaking Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday. Why? Because in a year from now, or a few months from now, I'm going to go up on a Thursday, come down on a Monday? The Torah Tumima asked that kasha on Tosfos in source number 7. It's a long Torah. I gave you just one line of the Torah Tumima. But he asked that kasha. B'nei Pasuk Zenemar Kodam Kabbalas Luchos Achronim. The Kodam Luchos Rishonim. Yav Kodam Matan Torah. This idea of being thirsty, which Chazal say is the impetus for the Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevi'im of having Kriyas HaTorah several days a week, took place before Matan Torah. Ve'echi tachin she'yichavnu az l'kavan hazo. How could it be he had in mind Monday and Thursday because he knew he was going to go back up on a Thursday, come down on a Monday, and be forgiven, given the Luchos, have a Shekhinah come back and get the Mishkan. He knew all those things in Parshas Beshalach? His suggestion is fascinating. We're not going to really focus on it tonight, but he suggests that the whole reading of the Gemara we're reading wrong. The Rambam maybe made a mistake. Maybe it really wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Amdu Nevi'im Shebeinehem, the Gemara didn't say Moshe Rabbeinu. Talmud Yerushalmi did. But the Gemara in Bava Kamma didn't say Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea of Darshi Rishumos, the drasha of 3 days without water, was a drasha that later people, later Nevi'im, tacked onto that time period.
Did he say who it was?
No. He's saying he thinks it happened maybe after Gullus by Esrisha. And they linked it back to that. Mamish, not what the Gemara says. It's very hard to fit his pshat into the Gemara. And it's Mamish against the Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi, we saw quoted in the Kesef Mishnah, said explicitly,
Beinehem,
right?
Among the people who were thirsty.
100%. It is a very forced read of the Torah Tumima, but his kasha is a good kasha. His kasha is, it can't just mean that they did all this work in Parshas Beshalach, because any symbolism of Monday and Thursday that comes from Matan Torah, and our idea of recreating Matan Torah, wouldn't make sense if the Takana predates Matan Torah. It wouldn't make sense to have Monday and Thursday if the Takana predates the auspiciousness of Monday and Thursday. So clearly, even if you want to say that there's some link back to that time in the desert, it doesn't mean it had to have happened back in Parshas B'Shalach. It was some time in the desert when the people were thirsty and couldn't survive without water. They're misaking Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevi'im Shebeinahem were misaking Kriyas HaTorah. But it has to be the case that it was paralleling after Matan Torah, and it was capturing the standing of Matan Torah, and it was capturing the forgiveness and the Eis Ratzon of Matan Torah, and Matan Torah didn't work out so well with the Cheder Egel, and we had a second chance with Luchos Shnios. So there's definitely something about Kabbalah Satorah that we're tapping into. The timeline is a little bit hard to understand. We're not going to focus on the Torah Tmimah's approach, but just to think about this idea that even though the Pesukim that we're quoting, this Pasuk in B'Shalach took place before Kriyas HaTorah, before Kabbalah Satorah, it has to be that the elements of Kriyas HaTorah are tapping into elements of Kabbalah Satorah. And this idea of Kabbalah HaTorah not just being a one-time historical event is very clear. Not only is it not a one-time historical event in our lives, trying to recreate it, but even in the Torah, it's repeated more than once. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Vayeschanan spends a lot of psukim and prakim recapping the events of Kabbalah HaTorah. Moshe doesn't just repeat the Aseret HaDibros, it's an entire parak beforehand discussing our relationship with Hashem, how lucky we are to have had this face-to-face rendezvous with Hashem, seeing him at Har Sinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, do not ever forget this experience. In source number 8, Moshe says, Raki shamar lecha, everyone, pay attention, be careful. Ushmor nafshecha me'od, and be exceedingly cautious. Pen tishkachas hadvarim asher ra'u einecha, maybe you'll forget the things that you saw. Upen yasur mulvavecha kol yamei chayecha, and maybe it will not be on the tip of your heart. Maybe it won't be something you internalize or actually feel. Instead, says Moshe, v'hodatam levanecha, v'levnei vanecha, make sure you proliferate this message to the next generation. Yom asher amadita lefnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev. Remember the day that you stood in front of Hashem at Har Sinai, when Hashem said to you, gather everyone around me, I will teach them my word, so they should learn to fear me and have a relationship with me. The Ramban in Parshas Vayeschanan writes that he thinks this is a formal mitzvah. No one else really counts this pasuk. It sounds like just a nice warning, or it sounds like a severe warning, or it sounds like a conversational piece. The Ramban thinks this pasuk is actually a tzivui, l'doros, one of the taryag mitzvos. Where do you see a mitzvah in this pasuk? What are you supposed to do? You're not shaking a lulav, you're not blowing shofar, you're not eating matzah. Did you see a mitzvah in this pasuk? Be careful, don't forget this. Got it. Says the Ramban in pasuk in source number 9, Hakas of Azal Lefidati, in my opinion, says the Ramban, mitzvahs lo saseh, as an explicit lo saseh. He's here, Bama'o, the Torah is giving, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us a severe warning. Ki kashir amar, shenizhar b'chal ha-mitzvos, b'nishmor ha-chukim ha-mishpatim la-asosam, as the foundation for keeping all the detailed mitzvos, like matzah, and shofar, and lulav, and sukkah, Moshe says, chazar v'amarak, ani mazhircha ma'od, lehishamer, v'lishmor, atzmecha ma'od, ma'od. Exceedingly be careful, lizkor me'ayin bo'i lecha ha-mitzvos. Pay attention to where this came from. What's the context? Why are we putting on tefillin? Why are we wearing tzitzis? Why are we keeping Shabbos? All of it links back to the day on which we stood by Har Sinai and formed the bris with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shlo tishkach ma'amad Har Sinai mikol advarim asheroa shameinecha. This is a mitzvah. The Ramban counts. I had to give it to you on the sheet, but the Ramban famously argues on the Rambam's mitzvahs as the Rambam counts them, and the Ramban thinks the Rambam forgot to include certain mitzvahs as say, and there's an equal number of mitzvahs that say that they shouldn't be counted, should not be counted. And there thinks the Rambam forgot to list certain mitzvahs lo saseh, and there's an equal number that the Rambam does count that he thinks should be taken out. So one of the mitzvahs, the lav number 2 that the Ramban thinks that the Rambam forgot to count is this lav. The Rambam forgot to count is a prohibition about forgetting Har Sinai. If you're eating a sandwich and you're not thinking about Har Sinai, you're over this mitzvah? What does that look like? How do you violate this mitzvah? The Ramban counts it just like eating chazer. It's lo saseh. You're not allowed to eat chazer. And he says, also lo saseh is, you're not allowed to forget about Kabbalah HaTorah. And if you do, you're over this mitzvah. Tell me, what am I supposed to do or not do? Give me an action. Give me a maisa. Give me a fulfillment or a violation. What am I supposed to do?
It's no different than any other schiras. You're supposed to remember a mod. You're supposed to remember many things.
Very good.
You don't have that in your head constantly.
Very good, right? Excellent. So the Ramban is understanding, like Neil just said, that there are zechiras we're supposed to count. The Ramban also, by the way, counts the zechira of Miriam, which others do not count as a mitzvah. The Ramban counts, Torah says, remember what happened to Miriam. The Ramban counts that as a mitzvah aseh midaraisa, to take time to think about the lessons of Miriam's Lashon Hara and her punishment, and it's a prohibition against those who do, in fact, speak Lashon Hara. The Ramban doesn't only say that it's a lo sa'aseh, he also counts an aseh to actively remember Kabbalah Satorah with Birchas Satorah. The Ramban argues in the Rambam. The Rambam counts mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and that's it. And the Ramban counts one mitzvah of Talmud Torah and another mitzvah of Birchas Satorah. One mitzvah actually studying Torah, and one about praising Hashem for giving us the Torah. The Ramban is in source number 10. This is what the 15th asay he believes that the Rambam forgot to count. Shenitz Davinu, says the Ramban, we are commanded, lehodos lishmo yisbarach b'chol eis shenikra b'torah. Every time that we are going to study Torah, we have an obligation to thank and praise Hashem. Al ha-tovah ha-gedolah she'asa lanu besito Torah so, when he gave us the Torah, tremendous favor, tremendous gift for us, like ha-ktov nasati lechem, elenu, v'hodi'anu ha-ma'asim ha-ritsuyim lefanav, and he's given us the secret, the special things we can do to be able to earn chai olam haba.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What about the Birchas HaTorah that you say early on?
Why? Very good. The Ramban is talking about Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaShachar. He's saying a person recites Birchas HaShachar in the morning, a person's reciting Birchas HaTorah, they are in fulfillment of a mitzvah Saseh Midaraisa. Normally, you have mitzvah of lulav, and you make a bracha before you shake a lulav. The bracha isn't a mitzvah, the bracha is the bracha on the mitzvah. Person's mitzvah is to eat matzah. So you make a bracha on the eating the matzah. The bracha isn't a different mitzvah, the bracha is the bracha on the mitzvah. The Ramban thinks...
Why shouldn't that cover the tefillah that we're talking about now.
That's it. The Ramban thinks when you make Birchas HaTorah in the morning, not part of leaning, when you make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning, you are in fulfillment of this tefillah.
If you have it in mind.
A person who makes the bracha may automatically have it in mind, even if you don't think you're having it in mind. When you say, Hashem b'charbonim mikol ha'amim, v'nasan lanu as Torah so, you are in fact doing a ma'isa mitzvah, like shaking a lulav is a ma'isa mitzvah, reciting Hakaras HaTov about Kabbalah HaTorah is a mitzvah. So Ramban, you're right, Ramban is not talking about Kriyas HaTorah, Ramban is just talking about the idea of studying Torah, the idea of making a bracha on learning. What's very interesting is, it's not just a mitzvah, not just a bracha on a mitzvah, it is a mitzvah in and of itself to actually make that bracha, which is unusual for a bracha. Normally a bracha is just the way of putting yourself in the right mindset to have kavanos, to do the mitzvah of matzah, of maror, of anything else. Here, there's an actual separate tzivui. There's a lo sa'aseh to not be involved and be thinking about the Torah and remembering Har Sinai, and there's a positive commandment for a person to be tapped in to be thinking about Kabbalah HaTorah. Chani?
Yes. I don't know which year I heard this from, but I heard that immediately after the bracha on the Torah, we have Psukim from the Torah, so we are following through with the bracha with actual limud Torah, in a sense.
That's true. According to the Ramban, a person who does that is fulfilling two of the Taryag mitzvahs, which is unusual again. When a person makes a bracha on matzah and then eats matzah, they're doing one mitzvah. The mitzvah is eating matzah. The bracha is just the bracha on that mitzvah. According to the Ramban, when a person makes a bracha and recites those psukim, they have fulfilled two of the Taryag mitzvahs, which is so unusual. Why is this bracha a standalone idea? But the Ramban understands that the bracha on the Torah is an obligation in and of itself to, on the negative side, be absent-minded or not be thinking about our connection to Har Sinai and Kabbalah HaTorah. And on the positive side, to actively have a zechira. If you look in the Siddur, there are sheish zechiros, there's Amalek, there's Miriam, there's Shabbos, there's Mitzrayim and others. And one of them is Kabbalah HaTorah. It's these psukim. The Ramban thinks you don't have to recite those psukim after davening to fulfill this mitzvah. By reciting Birchas HaTorah, you in fact did exactly this. Studying Torah is not enough for this mitzvah. Person doesn't make a Birchas HaTorah and opens a Gemara and just learns, they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of remembering Har Sinai. They're reading Gemara. They're reading Psukim. Person who recites Birchas HaTorah in the morning is having an appreciation for the relationship, how lucky we are. Hashem gave us the secret to relationship with Him, with Chayil Maba, as Ramban said, to have an everlasting connection with Him. It's that memory, it's that connection, it's that reenactment of what once was and still is that a person is fulfilling when they are making a bracha. I'll get to questions at the end. I just want to make sure we get to the next part, but I'll definitely take questions later. So if you look at the Gemara Maseches Brachos in source number 11, the Gemara applies this pasuk to learning Torah. The Gemara says, "V'hodatam levanecha levnei vanecha, eksid ba'asrei yom asher matal levanecha, mal halan be'ema v'yira b'reses b'ziya, afkan be'ema b'yira b'reses b'ziya." The Gemara says a person's posture and a person's sense of awe when studying Torah, when learning Bava Kama, when reading Sukkim, is supposed to be the same type of awe and appreciation that they had when we were at Har Sinai. So there's certainly the idea when we study Torah, we're supposed to be thinking about Har Sinai, but the Ramban's idea is so much bigger. The Ramban's idea is not just when we study Torah, but there's a separate mindset just to be thinking about the idea of Kabbalah HaTorah. Now that Ramban has pointed out is talking about Birchas HaTorah. But yet, even though we all recited the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, when a person gets an Aliyah, they're reciting another Birchas HaTorah. What are they doing? If what we're doing right now is just an idea of Talmud Torah in Shul, so is it a bracha levatala to recite a bracha we've already said before? The bracha after, at least, is a different bracha. But the bracha before is literally the same bracha we recited a few minutes ago when we recited Birchas HaShachar. Why are we reciting again this idea of Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim? So Rav Shakta very often quotes Rav Soloveitchik, who talked about this idea of Talmud Torah Barabim, having a different element than Talmud Torah B'yachid. A separate bracha, a separate idea. When we talked about Tfilas HaTzibur and Tfilas HaYachid, there's Talmud Torah HaTzibur and Talmud Torah HaYachid. So another bracha is necessary. Not only that, but we actually begin that act of Kriyas HaTorah with a barcha, with a Davar Shebekdusha. Just like we make a barcha at the beginning of certain davenings, we make a Kaddish and Kedusha, barcha has the status of Davar Shebekdusha. Rav Shechter, in source number 12, in Nefesh HaRav, quotes a fascinating story that the Brisker Rav, Soloveitchik's uncle, one time got to shul a few minutes late on Shabbos afternoon, and when he got there, he realized he had missed the barchu. They didn't start laning yet. The Kohen hadn't finished the bracha yet, but he already recited barchu. The Brisker Rav came in during the barcha ta Hashem Mokim Malchalam Hashem Bacharbanu. And the Brisker Rav said, oh, I missed laning. I have to daven later. I have to hear laning somewhere else. And they couldn't figure out what he meant. He hadn't missed a single word of laning. They didn't start laning yet. The Kohen didn't even finish the bracha yet. All he missed was the opening barchu before laning started. Why did he think he wasn't yotzei kriyas haTorah? And Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav's nephew, an amazing idea of what kriyas haTorah means. The Hizbir Rabbeinu, source number 12, he quotes from the Rav Soloveitchik in Ish Halacha, shekriyas haTorah b'tzibur ba lo rak l'shem limud. When we have kriyas haTorah, when we have laning in shul, that's not just a public reading of the Torah. Kiyim gam l'shem sidur pigisha im ha'elokim. This is a rendezvous. It's a meeting. It is an interaction between us and Hashem. Kimo she'ira l'avos seinu b'Sinai. Just like we once had this tremendous face-to-face connection to Har Sinai, we are experiencing that and re-experiencing that when we have Kriyas HaTorah. Kol kriya v'kriya hi matan Torah chadash. Beautiful language. Every time we engage in Kriyas HaTorah and Shul, it is a new matan Torah experience. Hachayas amida ha'pila'it b'tachta sahar ha'bo'er ba'esh. It is a revival of that miraculous standing that we stood at the foot of a burning mountain with lights and thunder and shofars. Yesh b'kriyas ha'torah mishum gilui shechina. Kriyas ha'torah is a form of interacting with the Shechina's presence. U'v'chol makom u'v'chol zman kisha'adam margish nochachto. And when a person experiences a Gilui Shechina and feels they're in the presence of Hashem, Chayav hu l'kadesh es shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person experiences a Gilui Shechina and feels that they're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're obligated to recite Davar Shebekdusha, B'laseis lo shavach v'hodaya. He quotes this idea of the Maharam, this Chumrah of the Maharam Rutenberg, to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, the Bach told us, that was based on this idea of reenacting Kabbalah HaTorah. We're reenacting something. We're not just reading something. We're not just learning something. We are re-experiencing something. Hamida hi totsa'at chavayat hagilui. It's this reenactment. It's this gathering together. It's this public reading and re-experiencing Kabbalah HaTorah that allows us to experience the Shechina face-to-face. Anu mechakim, we are imitating as Mamad Har Sinai. And that's how he explains why the Brisker Rav felt that missing Baruch Hu was missing Kriyas HaTorah. Not that we should pass them this way. But the Chumra was the idea that if you understand that Kriyas HaTorah is really about this rendezvous, this experience of bringing the Shechina into the room, of having a palpable Shechina felt at this moment, that has to come with a bracha, it has to come with a davar shel kedusha, it needs a new Brachas HaTorah, it's a new element of our relationship with Hashem in this room as a tzibur, requires the davar shel kedusha, and that element was missing to the Brisker Rav if he missed just the barchu. He missed the element of sanctifying or being part of the sanctification of the Gilui Shechina, and if he missed that, he wanted to go hear laning again. He wanted to be able to capture all the elements of Kriyas HaTorah, not just the words, not just the nekudos and the trup. He wanted to capture the element of being Mekadesh, with Baruch Hu, with Davar Shebikdusha, the experience of another Kabbalah Satora, the experience of a rendezvous with the Shekhinah face to face.
Can I bring Delilah add to that reenactment?
Could be. So is that Torah. This is that same Torah that Moshe brought down for us. That's the same Torah, right? We demonstrate, we point, we really experience it as if it's happening right now. It's an amazing idea to think about it this way. To think about not just learning something, to think about this idea of Kabbalah Satorah, think about this idea of experiencing now Kabbalah Satorah. And if that's what's happening right now, it requires a relationship with Hashem different than what we had before we started leaning. Now we see the Shekhinah. Maybe it's already the first clue of how we can talk about Kriyas HaTorah in davening. If it's just Talmud Torah, who put my matzah in davening? Who put this random mitzvah of laning of Talmud Torah in my davening? Now we're starting to describe Kriyas HaTorah not as just, hey, it's Talmud Torah, but in a larger setting. Kriyas HaTorah is having a face-to-face conversation with Hashem. That kind of sounds like tefillah a little bit. The only difference being, if tefillah, we're talking to Hashem, Talmud Torah Hashem is talking to us. The old expression, I quoted this before, they used to say, if you talk to God, you're religious. God talks to you, you have psychosis. No. If you talk to God, you're engaged in an act of tefillah. If God talks to you, you're engaged in an act of Talmud Torah. Every Talmud Torah is Hashem speaking to us, understanding his mind, kiviyachal, understanding his wants, his desires, his guidance. He's talking to us. That's every Talmud Torah. Every Talmud Torah deserves a Birchas HaTorah. But there's another Chavayah, there's another element of that face-to-face rendezvous, that face-to-face pigisha, that interaction, that dyadic of actually interfacing with Hashem that allows us to feel, he's really speaking to me now. He's really talking to me now. How nice is that? Now davening isn't so one-sided anymore. I've been talking all this time. I opened with praise with Moda Ani, went all the way through Berachas HaShachar, Pesukei Zimra, and now he's talking back. He's talking back. We get to experience Hashem speaking to us in Kriyas HaTorah. As Kabbalah HaTorah. That's what the Ramban said. We make that second Berachas HaTorah. We are now engaging in a different level of awareness of Kabbalah HaTorah. On these days when we're saying it, we're thinking about that. The Ramban writes in Parshas Truma, in source number 13, but this idea of perpetuating the Har Sinai experience, what Mishkan was all about, it's actually very relevant to Parsha Shmini this week, when the Gilei Shekhinah comes down, when they finish inaugurating the Mishkan on this week's Parsha, the whole point, says the Ramban, why we had a Mishkan, not like Rashi, that the whole purpose was a kapara for the Cheda Egel. The Ramban thinks, source number 13, the main purpose of the Mishkan was to have a place for the Shekhinah, and specifically through the Aron, where the Torah is. On the second line, v'sod ha-mishkan hu, says Rabban, what's the secret, what's the essence of what the Mishkan is all about? Sheyia ha-kavod asher shachan al har Sinai shochein alav b'nisdar. The purpose of having a mikdash is to have that relationship, that palpable face-to-face rendezvous with Hashem, not be limited to a one-time har Sinai experience, and instead have it be something we can take with us in our midst, in a Mishkan. And that presence of Hashem in the Mishkan was the exact same manifestation of Hashem's presence that was at Har Sinai. If that's true about the Mishkan, what about our Mikdash Ma'at? Our Mikdash Ma'at might itself be that same idea as well. The idea of not just having Kriyas HaTorah, but having Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, not just B'tzibur, but having it together in the shul, is this idea of having an ability to connect with the Shekhinah through Talmud Torah, through the spaces in which Hashem promised to have the Har Sinai experience perpetuate. The Ramban thinks of Mishkan as a portable Har Sinai. So why can't that extend to us too? We discussed way back when in our fundamental series about every shul being an embassy of the Mikdash. It's foreign soil. Yet it still belongs to the Mikdash. Talked about Chazal say that the shuls are going to fly up one day and return back to Eretz Yisrael because even now they're the soil, they're on foreign soil, but they're embassies of the Mikdash. If we're in a shul, we're listening to Kriyas HaTorah, that is a heightened experience of Kabbalah HaTorah. We are again interfacing with Hashem as we did at the time when we saw Him, when we saw Hashchina, when we saw the lightning and thunder. To be able to feel that, to be able to experience that, really completes our sense of tefillah. We're not just talking to Hashem. Smack dab in the middle of our tefillah, he's talking back to us. We are re-experiencing him. We just daven, we're saying tachanun. And on these days, on certain days, we hear him talking back to us. We remind ourselves what it means to have a listening Hashem. It's actually in the context of these psukim, when Moshe is recapping and telling us, don't forget this, reenact it, pass it on to your children. It wasn't a historical event. Keep thinking about it. Keep recreating it. It's in that context. Moshe says, Kimi goy gadol kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. Our ability to dive into him, our ability to interface with him, our ability to feel heard by him is in that context. Kabbalah Satorah taught us not only about how to study Torah, it taught us that studying Torah is a way to hear from Hashem. And therefore we can talk to him. If he talks to us, we talk back. And he wants a relationship with us. And he cares about what I do during my day. Why does he care about what I eat and what I say and how I work? Why does he care? Because he cares. Because it's an ongoing relationship. That definitely, absolutely belongs in our siddur. Absolutely belongs in our ongoing relationship. That we're not just talking to him. He is speaking to us. And we're aware of the fact that he's speaking to us. Now Kriyas HaTorah doesn't sound like such a separate thing from tefillah. It sounds like it's really giving it a richness to it. And you know what happened? We had the ultimate experience with Hashem. Then we blew it. Cheda Ego was our way of saying that we don't want this Torah. Moshe should destroy the Luchos, that contract, that everlasting bond, that rendezvous, that close interface. We weren't deserving of that anymore. And that was a very scary idea. We could lose the connection, we can lose the relationship, because we're so far in Gullus, because we've fallen so far, we can lose that relationship. Maybe we never can get that back. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on a Thursday. And then he comes down on a Monday with the second set of luchos, indicating forgiveness, indicating an everlasting relationship, indicating a relationship that can sustain any type of fallout, any type of rupture, any type of shattering of the Torah, of the luchos. It's still there. And that led to the Mishkan, where the Shekhinah followed us. That was the kapara, as Rashi said, for the Cheda Egel. The Ramban and Rashi aren't even so different. The idea of perpetuating Har Sinai was a kapara for the Cheda Egel, because the Cheda Egel ruptured our ability to connect to Hashem what we had at Har Sinai, Rashi. And the Mishkan was our ability to be able to reconnect and bring Har Sinai with us once again, to get back to that relationship. Monday and Thursday are auspicious for that relationship to be able to continue, regardless of what's happened, or how far we've sunken, or how dirty we've become. Kriyas HaTorah is a reenactment of Har Sinai. And it's, as Tosfos said, it's Monday and Thursday. Maybe that first pasuk about the thirstiness was before Matan Torah. But it's clear that this takana of Kriyas HaTorah, whenever exactly and how exactly it unfolded, has something to do with perpetuating, reenacting, standing up, whether we're literally standing or just imagining ourselves at Kabbalah HaTorah, in the shul, in the Mikdash Ma'at, studying Torah, all these elements are allowing us to connect with the Shechina in a real relationship way. That's what tefillah is all about. It absolutely, absolutely belongs in our siddur, absolutely belongs in the context of tefillah. And that is certainly, certainly why there are certain psukim chosen when taking out the Torah and certain psukim chosen when putting back the Torah. There are so many tefillahs that are going on in the siddur while Kriyas HaTorah is happening. If it was just Talmud Torah, and we're taking a break from our regularly scheduled tefillah and engaging in matzah. No, not matzah. We're going to do Talmud Torah. Pick that random. Why are we reciting tefillahs as we're taking out the Torah? There's a tefillah element going on over here. And what are those tefillahs? What tefillahs do we say when taking out the Torah? During the week, Keler Echapayim, some more tachanun. And then what we add on that's different is Vayihi bin Soha Haron, Ve'elmer Moshe, Kuma Hashem, V'yafutzu Ayivecha, V'yanusu Misanecha Mipanecha. When the Aaron started to travel, Moshe said, stop, Kuma, stand, wait for us, let's have a relationship together. I give it to you in Source 14 from a sefer called Daf al Adaf. It's a Daf Yomi sefer that has beautiful ideas on the Gemara. It doesn't really quote a source for this idea, but a very beautiful idea. He quotes from Rashi on Parshas Baloscha in Source number 14. Why did Moshe say to the Aaron, stop? So Rashi on Chumash says, in line number 2, Source 14, Lefisha Haya Maktim Lefnea Mahalach Shlosha Yamim. The Aron started to travel in front of them to smooth out their path and to clear away the enemies. And the Aron got too far ahead of them, 3 days ahead of them specifically. Haya Moshe Omer, Amod, wait, hang on, wait for us, Aron Kodesh. Vahamtein Lanu, Vaal Tisrachek Yoser. To Rashi quotes on Chumash. Says the Sefer, Daf al Adaf, listen to this. We just said that 3 days without Torah makes a person feel lost and thirsty and worn out. When the Aron started to go more than 3 days' journey ahead of us, we felt lost. We said, wait, come back here. We need you. We can't navigate this difficult desert. We can't navigate life without you. Shekasher Ra, Aron Bris Hashem, Shebo haTorah munachas. When Moshe saw that the Aron with the Torah inside, Misrachekes miYisrael derach shlosh yisabim, there were going to be 3 days without the Torah. Bikesh amod v'hamtein l'naval tisrach ha'yoser. Wait. Don't go more than 3 days away. Shekein aser shiyem merchak bein Yisrael l'Torah, more than 3 days. How do you like that? More practically, what does that mean? It means we want the Torah to travel with us. Dr. Norman Lim has a beautiful drasha on this pasuk of Ayibin Sela Aron, and the Nun and Hafuchin. If you look into the Torah and Parshas Baaloscha, there's backward nuns surrounding this idea, surrounding these psukim of Ayibin Sela Aron. Dr. Lim explained that what the conservative movement denied, that really was the end of that vitality of any sense of Judaism, was the idea that the Torah no longer applies. Things can be changed. Torah is no longer applicable in generations where people are working X hard, or people have this kind of technology, or egalitarian rights have raised the question of whether this whole thing can apply at all. There are questions and we have to adapt, but the idea to throw out mitzvos, the idea of going back to Tzion, some outdated the reform movement that took such liberties with throwing things out because the Torah doesn't apply in this generation where people are educated, people are technologically savvy, where people are thriving and happy in their own countries, the Torah changes. The most important thing to know is Vayihi Sela Aron. Wherever we go, the Torah travels with us. The Torah is applicable in our daily lives. Whatever country, whatever generation, whatever movement's going on in the universe, the Torah applies there too. We can't be too far from the Torah. We can't say that there's some element, there's some area in the world or some generation for which the Torah is no longer relevant. The Torah travels with us. The Torah is relevant in all of our times. And if it feels like we're too far from the Torah, we have to say stop. That Nun and Hafuchin, he explained, Nun in Aramaic is a fish. A Nun Hafuch, a fish swimming against the tide, the backwards fish. The tide is pushing one way, and the Torah and the Aron says, we're going to push back the other way, with a fish swimming upstream. This idea of having Torah values in a world that's foreign to Torah values, bringing the Torah with us. If this is the relationship that we're going to have when we're in shul, it's a nice little bubble in shul. We're in the embassy. We're on sacred soil. So while we're in shul, we can have that relationship. But who's to say we can take that relationship with us once we leave shul? These psukim, as we're taking out the Torah to read from it, if you want to really internalize the message of what Kriyas HaTorah is all about, this interface, this connection, this reenactment of our relationship that can sustain any pain or any rupture on Monday and Thursday, we are going to have with it the lesson of this is going to come with you. Take this with you when it's not Monday and when it's not Thursday or when it is Monday and Thursday, but you leave to go to the office. Take this with you. Don't the relationship end here? We talked about davening all day long. Now we're talking about learning all day long. If you can talk to Hashem all day long, well then Hashem can talk to you all day long. That relationship is a reciprocal relationship. So why should we be the ones reciting brachos and davening all day long? We should also be learning all day long. Not just learning, but seeing the Shechina, seeing the Gilui of Hashem and all the places that we go. Those Nun and Hafuchin. If it's not the trend, if it's not the tide, go against the tide. Take the Aron with you. If it gets too far away, say stop. That's how we take up the Torah. Further, there is a tefillah that we say when the Torah is being taken out called Brich Shmei. I once saw a very cynical top 10 list someone compiled of top 10 tefillahs that nobody says all the words to because they don't give enough time in shul to possibly say that. It was a top 10 list, like Pita Maktores, Bam Madlik, and it was sad. It was very sad to read the list. And number one on the top 10 list was Brich Shmei.
There were really 10.
Maybe. Yeah, there were 10 on the list, yes. Number one on the list of top 10 things that this person putting this together said, people don't really say, is Brich Shmei. Brich Shmei is in very hard Aramaic. It comes from the Zohar. It is a very hard thing to say. What is Brich Shmei? I actually gave you the English over here of Brich Shmei. The Zohar writes in source number 16, when the Torah is being taken out, it is an auspicious time to daven. Really? Who put their davening in my Kriyas HaTorah? No. It's all the same. It's about a relationship. And if you look at the words of Brich Shmei, and I strongly encourage, if not the difficult Aramaic, take a look at the English in the Siddur of Brich Shmei the next time, whether it's during the week or for those who are coming to Shul on Shabbos. Take a look at Brich Shmei and the translation more specifically about what's being discussed over there. It's a phenomenal idea. Oh, it sounds so Kabbalistic. It sounds so difficult. I probably wouldn't understand it. You know what it's talking about? Seeing the light of Hashem in the world, feeling lit up, feeling connected, being well and having a relationship with the Shechina. having Hashem show his face and save us from galus and have his presence felt throughout the world. Considering myself, Ana avda dekucha berichu, I am a servant of Hashem, desagid nekamei umikamei dikaro reisei, I am one who prostrates and is in service of Hashem, and in the honor of his Torah, b'chalidan v'idan, at all times. That's it. Not so complicated. The words are complicated. The pronunciation is really complicated. But the meaning isn't so Kabbalistic. The meaning is, I want a relationship with you all day long. Why is that an appropriate tefillah for now? We're taking out the Torah. We're taking out the Torah. We're taking it out from its podium, and we're bringing it into our lives. We're going to listen to it over here, but if this experience is done right, it's going to be an experience we can take with us, the traveling our own, not 3 days away, traveling with us wherever we go. That tefillah, Brech Shmei, take a look. Pick a couple of lines just to focus on Shabbos during the week. Just read a couple of lines in English of Brech Shmei. Think about what it means to use Kriyas HaTorah time as an act of tefillah to recognize the beauty of our relationship, our ongoing relationship, our everlasting and always able to be repaired relationship with Hashem in the Mikdash Ma'at, with Talmud Torah, with that connection. That's what it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful tefillah. And as we get to the laning, we call up the first aliyah. What does everyone call out? V'atem ha'dekim Hashem Elokeichem chayim kolchem ayom. Those who cling to Hashem. How do you cling to Hashem? He doesn't have a body. You cling to the Torah. You cling to the Torah. What are you? Chayim kolchem ayom. You're living as opposed to dying of thirst. You're having an ongoing, living, breathing relationship with Him, not just now, but every day. Not just Monday and Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday too. You need at least to have some water. You have to at least have some reenactment Monday and Thursday and Shabbos. But that's supposed to hold us over till the next time. And maybe we shouldn't wait that long until we get the next drink of water. Maybe we should drink water every single day. If it's not informal Kriyas HaTorah, maybe it's an opportunity to study a little bit more. I had a taste of that water. I had a taste of that water. I want to have more. Why should I go with the bare minimum I need to survive? Okay, just not dying of thirst today. Check. No! Why are you satisfied with complacency of just enough water not to die during the week? It should give us a taste to be able to say, I want this with me throughout the day. I had this experience of being in shul, and I want to study Torah 5 minutes at night. I want to come to a shir. I want to listen to the card or something. How could I let that thirst come back up again until Thursday, Monday, two days away? I'm not going to die because it's less than 3 days. But still, if there's a chance to have more of the drink, more of the avachias. Uh-oh. Can everyone please mute themselves? Okay. This idea of looking at Kriyas HaTorah as an opportunity to foster a relationship that can be quenched and can be fed all day long. And as we put the Torah back in the Aron, in source number 18, we recite these psukim about Hashem resting His Shechina among us as a tzibur. Each pasuk we can delve into, just a couple of highlights. Ki lekach tov nasati lechem Torah si al tazohu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've given you a tremendous gift. Don't abandon it. That's the Ramban. Don't forget about this. Don't leave it be. Don't put it out of your mind. Eitz chayim hi lemachazikim ba. It's a tree of life to those who grab onto it. My older brother pointed out to me one time, if you think of Eitz chayim hi, a nice Torah is pleasant. You're at the side of the pool, and there's a palm tree over your head. Torah is nice. The Recheder Chinam, we're going to say, very nice. Torah is very pleasant, very sweet. No, Eitz chayim hi lemachazikim ba doesn't mean that. Eitz chayim hi lemachazikim ba isn't under a very leafy, shady tree right next to a soft running brook. It's being trapped in a raging river and being carried off downstream, and there's one branch you can grab onto to stop yourself from going over the waterfall. When life is pushing you around and it feels like you're stuck in the gusts of winds of life and the stormy days and the stormy challenges of life, it's an Eitz Chayim Hi L'Machazikim Ba, to those who hold on to it, to those who take it with them, to those who hold on for dear life. They're dveikim b'Hashem, if they're going to be clinging, holding on really tight, that's chayim kolchem ayom. Then they're going to stay alive. Put the Torah back and we say, we're not finished with you. We want to hold on to this. We want to take something of this with us. When we took it out, we said, vayhi ben tzaharon, the Torah travels with us. When we put it back, we say, this is a precious gift. We don't want to put this down. Al tazovu. It's a gift of life for those who are, it's a tree of life for those who are able to hold on. V'samchem yushar, for those who uphold it. Are feel blessed, feel lucky, they feel well fed, and they feel not thirsty because they feel quenched. Derached Archinam, it applies in all of our lives and it's so sweet. Hashirenu Hashem Elecha v'Nashuva Chereshimenu Kekedem. And by doing so, we'll have the ultimate relationship with Hashem. This is what Kriyas HaTorah is all about. our ability to not just daven to Hashem, but to have Him speak to us, to feel Him speaking to us, to have it embedded in our tefillos, in our tachanun. There's tachanun before, there's tachanun after. It's right smack in the middle of that. There's tefillos before, there's tefillos after, there's psukim before, there's psukim after. These tefillos, these psukim, these brich shmeis, they're teaching us what it means to have Kriyas HaTorah in the Siddur. It's not a separate mitzvah. Just to end off, I gave you Rav Dessler on the last source in number 19, who really compared the idea of this physical thirst. Imagine a person who's physically ill, physically without nourishment. He speaks about the Torah being the elixir of life, and that the body has certain needs. The neshama also has needs. The neshama also has evarim, taryag mitzvos, kenega taryag, 248, 365, parts of our spiritual body. It really is an act of nourishment. And what I've heard over the years from different rabbanim and different, I can't give them credit because I don't remember who said what, but different ideas about what it means to compare Torah to nourishment. What does it mean to compare Torah to water? Number one is that if Torah is water, it doesn't matter why you're not having water. If a person feels faint or has a headache or they're feeling unable to focus because they didn't have enough water today, it doesn't really matter that I have a good excuse. You know, I was really busy today. I was dealing with this or with that. I couldn't drink today. You have a headache. You don't feel well. But it's not my fault. It's just a consequence. If you're malnourished, you're malnourished. If you're not taking care of yourself, you're distant from who you want to be. You're not able to tap into your true abilities today. You can't play well. You can't think well. You can't work well. You can't drive well because you're not nourished. For a couple of days in a row, yikes. And Torah is the same thing. I'm just too busy to learn. No one's blaming you. You're just without nourishment. It's not your fault. Maybe it's not your fault. It's not a question of fault. If you don't have that sustenance, you don't have that sustenance. You're lacking. And you're feeling sick, and you're feeling detached, and you're feeling lost in the desert without water. That Kriyas HaTorah experience should give us a little taste that makes us say, I want to have more. And not suffice for the bare minimum. The person who experiences that first drink of water says, I got to have more of this stuff, and I got to make sure I don't wait 2.5 more days to the point of fainting and then have an extra drink. Now that I realize just how much this means to me, I want to make sure to continue to drink this throughout the day. So if that's the case, we have to continuously think about ways to use Kriyas HaTorah as a wake-up call to incorporate more Torah, more relationship, more nourishment in our day. And lastly, if you think about it this way, water can either be the most delicious drink or the worst drink. Like Rabbi Arya Leibowitz once said this. When a person is not thirsty and someone gives them water, it doesn't do anything for you. Doesn't have the caffeine of coffee, doesn't have the sugar of soda, doesn't have the kick of alcohol. But if you're really, 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 really thirsty, there's nothing better than water. It quenches your thirst, it's so smooth, it revives you in a way that soda doesn't, that coffee doesn't. The thirstier you are for it, the better it tastes. The more you're craving and feeling like you can't live without it, the more you appreciate it, and the more it actually provides a sense of hana and a sense of great excitement to make you want to keep drinking it all day long. And the Torah is the same thing. The Torah has the power and Torah has the restorative factors to which a person feels that it's a tree of life, that it's a source of life for all those who grab onto it. So these are our takeaways for tonight. Number one, laning Monday and Thursday has its roots all the way back in the Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu when we were feeling thirsty and lost in the desert. Number two, it's not just an act of Talmud Torah, but it's an experiential reenactment of Kabbalah HaTorah, gathering in the Mikdash Ma'at, to study Torah, recite Birchas HaTorah, like Ramban said. It captures and makes alive and relevant and contemporary the key features of that rendezvous with the divine. It's how we are able to hear Hashem speaking to us. And Monday and Thursday, as Tosfos said, were particularly auspicious days in our maintenance of that relationship. When things felt lost, we felt distant from Hashem. Monday and Thursdays is the time we were able to reinforce and repair that relationship with Hashem. We bookend laning with psukim and tefillos with that same message. Take this with you. Vayibid sa'aron, those nun and hafuchin, wherever you are in life, whatever's going on, take that message, take that aron, take that Torah, take that relationship with you for the rest of the day on Monday and for Tuesday and Wednesday until the next reading. Don't suffice with the minimum amount. By comparing a thirst for Torah to a physical thirst, we have some ideas to think about that, excuse or not, malnourished is malnourished. It's a question of whether or not it feels justified or not. If we're not taking care of our bodies, we're not taking care of our neshamas, we're not watering that relationship, it's going to be lacking. Number two, we should not be complacent, just barely getting by, just barely not fainting and passing out from exhaustion. Recognize how much it's necessary and cling onto it and get more of it, learn more. And the more we crave it, the better our Talmud Torah tastes. So hopefully with these ideas we could think about as we approach more and more days of the Kriyas HaTorah. Chol HaMoed, coming up in not such a distant future. To think about every opportunity for Kriyas HaTorah is an opportunity for reenacting Kabbalah HaTorah, our relationship with Hashem, which absolutely belongs in our tefillah as we speak to Hashem and we hear Him speaking to us Monday and Thursday and every single day of the week.